Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
By Joseph and Mary. And Paul reminded Timothy that from a child he had known the sacred scriptures. Jesus considered the little ones infinitely precious, for he said, "Permit the little children to come unto me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Rightly understood, though, the ceremony is more than just a child dedication. It's the dedication of parents as well. They are publicly declaring before you folks here at Coastal Family their allegiance to Jesus Christ and that they are going to raise Anaya so that she one day will know that precious Savior for herself. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in Ephesians 6:4. Do not provoke your children to wrath. I don't know if I should say this in front of JD, because I'm sure he's saying, there's times, Dad, you did that. But do not provoke your children to wrath or to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Think of that verse for a moment. Do not provoke your children to anger. This actually includes building your child's positive self-esteem and putting in them the right character qualities that God would desire. Bring them up. This weed needs to nourish and to nurture. And they're doing that because Anaya has a cracker in her hand. Discipline them. This word involves spiritual guidance and training. And then to instruct them. This word includes warnings as well as words of encouragement that flow from the very Word of God, along with life's experiences. So as we stand here before you as a great company of people, I have a pledge that I need to ask of both JD and Jamie. And with each one, it's like you're getting married all over again. You're going to say, "We do." Do you hear this day? Recognize Anaya as a gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessings. If so, respond, "We do." Do you hear this day dedicate Anaya to the Lord? If so, respond, "We do." Do you hear this day pledge as parents that you'll bring up Anaya in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? If so, you'll say, "We do." There's only two more. Do you hear this day promise to give Anaya every possible benefit of home, of education, and of her church? We do. Thank you. Do you hear this day ask God's blessing upon Anaya's life to guard, guide, and direct her during this time as she's with you in your care? Now, I'm going to ask you, as the family of, Coastal Family, will you fulfill your calling as members of the body of Christ so that Anaya and all the children that come into your company will know that you love Jesus, you walk accordingly, and you desire that you be an example to them in the faith, grace, and knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ? And if so, will you as a congregation say, "We do"? Amen. All right. Anaya, you're going to touch Grandpa's cold hands now. And she has a cracker. Anaya, we dedicate you to the Lord in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a few moments, we're going to have Pastor Rod lead us in a closing prayer of the dedication, but you may be wondering why we brought these flowers. Now, this was a time crunch, so usually we present real flowers. These are fake, but each flower has a special representation. The two blue carnations stand for Dad and for Ethan. Come on. And the four, and hopefully there'll be another blue carnation in this later on. The four is for Brielle, Bailey, and Anaya. This and Mommy, yes. This, I'm sorry. However, this family unit will never be successful unless the rose of Sharon, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in the center. And we present them as a reminder of what happened today, as a reminder of where they need to keep Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much. It was very special. So obviously you know that there's an extra gracing that's needed for parenting, because these babies don't pop out with a handbook that kind of gives them instructions, because I got three children and they have I've got to use three different hands on them because they're just different. So we want to just pray for you as a family unit, and also just pray as mom and dad have made this commitment, and as a church we've made a commitment to help you raise the family, because it takes a community to raise a family. Amen. Yeah. So stretch your hands towards this beautiful family. And so, Father, we thank you that you just sent your son just to display family, and your son spoke of his father. And so, Father, as you have deposited the heart of family into us as a church, we thank you that this family will represent you accurately out there in the highways and the byways. I thank you that as Jedediah and Jamie take their commitment as parenting in such a serious way, that they would be models, they would be mentors, and they would continually mention your goodness and your greatness and your grace. And so, Father, we commit this family, we commit them to you as they press into you for wisdom and how to raise their children. We bless you and thank you for this family unit. And bless you for Anaya in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you, family. Thank you so much. So we,
just for those of you that are not on Facebook, you know AJ and Megan Nesta? Well, they're also having another one. So there's two ways to grow a church.
Hallelujah. Is it Heidi and Mike? I didn't say hello to you early on. It's nice to have you with us. Thank you. And all the visitors, including right in this corner, we'll introduce you and get to know you all, and just really happy for everybody to be together. And so Jedediah is my Haiti comrade. We went to the front lines in Haiti and just got to know the incredible heart he has for the Haiti missions. It's something that's been predominantly in his life, and for many years he's been down there. And so I've watched the children respond to him, because some of the girls were maybe 9 and 10, and some of the kids were 9 and 10, and he's been there consecutively for quite a few years, 7 years. Yeah, since 2012, all the way through. And obviously last year we couldn't get there because baby was born around that same time, because life gets a little chaotic then, and Naya came along. And so our hearts are still there. We purchased an upgrade on an antenna for them down there. But to say that, you know, that really has been something that has linked Jedediah and I in such a way that we have a heart for the nation of Haiti. And obviously, we have to look at the next generation to be able to put the kingdom into them to be able to change a nation, because that nation desperately needs a move of God. And so we will look at the youngsters. Anyway, and as a PK, a preacher kid, I approached him a couple of weeks back and said, listen, July, would you like to minister? Because we have this heart in the churches to make place at the table for the next generation to be able to minister and to be able to learn and be able to express what God's placed in their hearts. And so Jedediah said, yep, not quite sure what I'm going to say, but yep. And so I understand that pressure. And so when I shot him a text this morning, he says, well, I've been up early because of the butterflies, the nerves and everything else. So don't worry, it still happens with me because I'm not a public speaker, but here I am. God has a sense of humor. All right, so, but we're really excited about you sharing the word with us, and I just want to pray for you, pray for us. And for those that are joining us live, just thank you for joining and being faithful and listening. So, Father, thank you. Father, you take advantage of every situation, every opportunity that we give you to move in our lives. And again, that we, as we sit together in this building, and also as people tune in live stream, Father, our hearts are postured to hear your voice. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And Father, as Jedediah yields himself to communicate what you've placed within his heart, we thank you that our hearts are that good soil that will turn it into a hundredfold return for the kingdom of God. So we thank you for Jedediah. Thank you that you would give him boldness, get his butterflies in formation. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jedediah.
Green, right?
You got a green light.
Okay. Well, good morning, Coastal. It is a pleasure to have the opportunity on a special day like this with our family. The last time I spoke, Anaya was just born. I think my wife couldn't make it, which wasn't so bad. It was a little less pressure. Here as I speak now, you know, the house is crazy and there's never a dull moment. And we apparently enjoy that so much that beginning of the year, we're going to be having another one to come join the craziness. But, you know, we apparently wanted to start in five and continue along that way. Really the chaos is an amazing blessing. It gives us a great privilege to exercise Psalms 78, 5 through 8. Do you have that one up there first? So he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. All these generations later, his word is still being preached all over the world. And at times like this, when the world is really having the same issue, it's not one country to another. The unity of it with God is, there's an opportunity here for all nations in the world to really come together. But yet we continue to neglect to even come close to exercising that extravagant power and strength that is available to us all the time. Since Pastor had mentioned being asked and I was tossing around what to speak on, and probably a couple weeks, still had nothing. It was the week before last, driving into work, drink my coffee, and I had to jot it down. It just kind of all of a sudden came to me. Pastor has been speaking on the fullness of God, so I decided to title today's message, Why Do We Block Him? Why is it that this power, his grace, his mercy, unconditional love seems so hard to accept open-heartedly? Most of us here are believers in all of this, but continue on day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year, running the same rat race of life on earth with the same actions, just hoping for a different outcome. First of all, I want to look at the definition of block. The first is an obstacle, putting a block on any future development. Then the second one is, they use sports as a quote, so that caught my eye. An obstruction of an opponent's play, especially during football. A halting or impeding of the progress or movement of an opponent by use of body. There's a medical one in there, but that's pretty self-explanatory. If you get a block in your arteries and stuff, you got trouble. Yep. But the one that also really intrigued me was psychology. The interruption or cessation, especially of train of thought by competing thoughts or psychological suppression. When we think about how much godly development we have blocked over the years of refusing to pray and listen, the sports analogy, like I said, tingled the ear because most of this year we have no idea what that's about. It's pretty much been gone. There's no sports and the TV is barely on at our house unless it's the kids. But I'd like to really state that obstruction is Satan. Satan is continually trying to halter or impede the progress or our movement for our Lord and Savior. And then also with the the psychology. How many times throughout the day are we constantly getting competing thoughts? You may start to pray, and by 1 minute, you're already thinking about what you're doing next, where, you know, what was I supposed to do here and there? And we're constantly getting the battle of trying to stay focused on Him. Romans 8:7-8 says, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So we really need to really focus on our thoughts. They do control our actions and where we go from there. And quite honestly, it really blocks the fullness of God that He is not withholding from us. It is always there. It is always available. It is up to us to accept and absorb it and enjoy it. One major reason I feel that we do so is our pollution through youth experiences and environment. Our youth is full of figuring out life. We are continually going through what crowd we're going to hang out with, what do we want to do, what do we want to become. Throughout all that time, we gain a lot of knowledge, good and bad. Oftentimes, we are wanting to be a part of something or some group. You know, the human nature, we are always trying to be a part of something. And that's naturally there because God is always calling us to Him. What type of decisions did we make along that way affect what we are now? Psalms 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." And then Psalms 119:9-11. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to his word, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." When you get to your experiences, they truly shape us. Our experiences to this point in your life and those to come affect the way that we react and handle each day and its challenges. For many, their hearts have been broken in relationships, friendships, and the one I'm fearful of that hasn't come yet is the parent-child ones. I know what I did to my dad, so so I've definitely got some coming. The Lord knows the pain and heartache that I caused my parents, and let's start to use those things for growth and not roadblocks, and not let them hinder our where we want to go. I mean, just because something happens, it doesn't make life's tough. It's not going to be perfect. Matthew 6:31-34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I mean, he tells us right there, each day is full of some sort of trouble. My son has been indulging a lot more into basketball lately. And so I've had the opportunity to coach this year, and I'm teamed up with another coach, and we are trying to figure out what will be our team name. So he came up with this, and I love this name because it really acts in our walk with Christ. So our team name is the Ackerman Fear. Face everything and rise. So, you know, we're trying to instill to them. I mean, our first game was yesterday, and I think we got a little decent of a beatdown. But, you know, the kids were good, and we're trying to continue along with that, the fear. So The last part of like our pollution that I was thinking about is our environment. The environment impacts us, especially during these times. 2020 has rolled in like no other year that I, and I would assume you, have ever experienced. There's so much information at our fingertips that it's almost too much. I'd be willing to say that if we spent one-tenth of that time on His Word, we'd care a lot less about what we're seeing. Each one of us has been shaped by our environment, whether it's your household, your city, your state, your region, your nation. You know, Pastor and them come from South Africa. They have a whole different viewpoint on things than we do in America, probably growing up. In Haiti, it's completely different. Traveling around with my father as he changed locations. We've been in the Midwest. We spent my school years up north, and now I've been down south. And trust me, there's a big difference between north and south. They made sure of that when you first get down here. We don't care about what you do up north. You know, it took a year or two. So, but one of the major reasons that we block him is we are not willing to make a sacrifice. There is no sacrifice. The Bible talks over and over again about this walk with Jesus Christ comes at a sacrifice. Over the past few months, I have wondered if people are so easily persuaded by this media and believe in it all, why can't they come to believe in life after death and the needing of a Savior? It's because they would have to start making sacrifices instead of just continuing to reject Him. My oldest daughter, Brielle, we nickname her Breezy. If you've ever seen that hair in the wind, it's very fitting. Has recently been going through this stage where she will just blatantly do the opposite of whatever we ask, or do what we ask her not to do. You know, Breezy, close that door. Nope. Just continue on. And as I was preparing this, I realized, how many times do I do that to the Lord? How many times do I sit there and just say, no, I prefer to do this. It satisfies my flesh more, and not willing to make that sacrifice to go the extra step. We lean way too much on our own understanding and desires. Too many times we think we got it. There is no power to our flesh. Stop blocking Him. Realize that we are powerless. Like the last time, my music, I always like to try to find a little lyrical quote. And this one was, that's the beauty of the powerless, made to rest in Him, the only place where power is. That's the beauty of the powerless, find our hope in Him, the only place where power is. Most of the time, we're a straight mess, but I know that God's done way more with way less. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I mean, it tells us he's the head of all authority, so I do not know why we're so worried about everybody else. He even appoints our leaders, so he has his hand in everything. 1 Timothy 4:8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Yeah, I skipped that one by accident. So comfort can cause us to just continue to go through the motions. When we're comfortable, we're just continuing through our checklist, church on Sundays, maybe your Bible app devotion daily, men and women groups, you know, check, 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 and you feel like you're staying closed, you're comfortable in what you're doing, but just going through the motions is a very dangerous thing. There's one verse that has always, I think, since I was a young kid, that when I heard it, it just always resonated in me because it really puts fear in me. Revelations 3:16, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I mean, when you really look at that, if you're just comfortable going through the motions, we're lukewarm. And he clearly says, I'll just spit you out of my mouth. So how often do we or I stay lukewarm? We continue to block his amazingness and refuse to make sacrifices. One last lyrical thing I had here is we're called to something different. Wrong for our decisions while we call ourselves Christians. In a egregious spirit, we want to preach the word but never hear it. Godliness pretenders. We want benefits with no surrender. Round and round again, nothing changes. Here we go. We're stuck physically until we focus on the spiritual. We need a miracle, contentment in our hearts. We cannot go forward unless we go back to the start. Going back to the start, for many of you, if you have accepted Jesus, that initial time is one of the best times. I remember when my wife came to it, she just felt at complete peace. And in those moments, we aren't worried. We are making sacrifices. We are willing to surrender to him. So oftentimes, we just need to get back into that place and where we first came to know him and move from there. So Psalms 96, 1 through 8 is, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens, splendor and majestic are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. We really do need to continue to bring something to him. You know, we accept his grace and take it, but we never go the extra mile of trying to live it out. We just continue to block him. So Coastal, let's start living a little uncomfortable. It's not like this whole year hasn't been uncomfortable anyways. We should be getting a little used to it. There is no strength or power in you or I. It's all in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Make the sacrifice to live and serve your Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 29:11-12. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. He tells us right there that God, all of our misfortune is not of God. He is not planning our evil to us. We just live in a lost world, and it is going to be there. It's going to be abundant, but we need to seek him, pray for him, and he will hear us. I don't know. I think I stormed through that one, I guess. Maybe the nerves got me. But let me end in a prayer here. And again, Pastor, I thank you for this opportunity. So, Father, I just pray that as a church and as a nation and as a world that we stop blocking you and your greatness and your glory and refusing to hear and listen and be obedient to your word, Father. I pray that we seek you more and more and that we start to live more uncomfortable than just going through the motions and just keeping this flesh satisfied, Father. I pray that you open the hearts to those who do not know you and have not come to these terms, and that you may show them your truth, and that it is graceful, and that it is true, and that it eliminates the worries of this world, Father. May you continue to guide us and protect us and watch over us, Father. And I thank you for this church family, and may this church family resonate through Flagler Beach, and may it spread out even further through the county and the cities nearby, Father, in Jesus' name.